You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
We have a guest teacher here today. And Rocky, come on up for a second. I'm going to embarrass you, and then we'll see if you can still preach. We'll see how good you are. It's just the way it works, my brother. You bring an entourage, then here we go. He can introduce him. When you're big time, you travel in packs. I travel alone on a bicycle. So this is one thing I want to share about who Rocky is and what God has done and how thankful I am to have Rocky come in and teach. Many of you guys have already picked up on it. God uses me to encourage you to become who God wants you to be. And that can be very scary for most Christians because most Christians want to come and show up, pay for the Christian experience, and then leave and feel like they did something great. And here at Real Church, we've realized, no, God has gathered us together to use our gifts and skills to glorify His name so that His kingdom can grow. And about 7+ years ago, a man with no beard who looked like he was 11 came to me and shared with me. He said, "Hey, I was thinking about going to seminary in Chicago, and it seems that you're already planting a church. How about I help you out?" And he had no idea what he was getting himself into. One of the blessings that I want to bring to Rocky is that Rocky, for me, has been somebody who has carried me in times when I couldn't stand, I couldn't walk, I couldn't go. And I don't mean that like, oh, wow, he's just talking like emotionally Rocky carried him. No, Rocky actually made sure all of my stuff from my home made it from California to Chicago. And then Rocky and I, in 96-degree heat with 1,000% humidity, unloaded a tractor trailer in the middle of Armitage on a busy day. That was just great. I never knew you could do that. We stopped traffic in all directions.
I don't think you're supposed to.
No.
Yeah.
What I want you guys to understand is what I love about Rocky is Rocky has a servant's heart. And Rocky is willing to serve, and Rocky is willing to do. And so when Rocky communicated to me, "Hey, Nathan, I'm coming out, and I'm going to come visit Real Church," I was like, "Do you want to preach?" And he was like, "What?" And I was like, "Well, would you like to teach?" And we had a conversation. Mm-hmm. And the conversation really described the two of us. He said, "Do you realize that's the anniversary of Real Church? Don't you want to teach?" And he was trying to give me honor. And I said, "No, it would be an honor that you would teach and you would come and you would speak on our birthday, our anniversary." Because actually, in a lot of ways, Rocky is the DNA of Real Church. You come to Real Church, you train up, and you're obedient to what God tells you to do. And it would be my great honor to have Rocky come in and teach and just speak with us about what it is in our values. And Rocky has a lot of the DNA of who we are. And also, let's just pray that he keeps wrecking this church that desperately needs people. It's called Sandals. Back in California, that you keep bringing some good DNA back to Real.
Thank you.
Okay? You guys know they're hurting. They're like tweeting right now. Yeah. Deal with it. I have the mic. It's good. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for Rocky. And here's my thing. My prayer is that you get ready to hear God speak to you. Amen. And let's not just be hearers, but let's realize, "Hey, God, I can't do that. How about through your Holy Spirit, you make that happen?" Because the church of the 1970s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s needs to die. The church that I can do all things by myself without God, that church needs to die. We need a church that says, "Holy Spirit, I can't do what you're calling me to go do. Help." Amen? Let me pray for Rocky. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Rocky. Thank you, God, that he's just obedient and he wants to serve you. I pray over his voice. God, he's had a cough for 13 years. Help him, mighty God. But I also know that those of us who serve you, we're tired. Those of us who put our lives on the line for the Spirit, we're exhausted. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless Rocky. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless Sandals Church in Riverside. And God, that you would continue to be raising up people who want to stand in the gap and want to point to you. Heavenly Father, we need people who can point to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I pray that you bless Rocky with pointing us to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Nathan. I think that's the best introduction I've ever had. So, man, it is so cool to be back here with you guys. And I listened to the sermon last week, and I understand there was like some debate on, and so I just wanted to cast my vote for, this is the 7th year anniversary of Real Church, right? Like, I listened to that. I know somebody said 6 years. Listen, I have an arts degree. There's no math involved. I know how to count. So I figured these things out. And so, man, I just want to say, like, it is so cool to be here. And so I'm actually going to offend you guys a couple times this morning. And so I just want to start off right away. How many of you guys are just, we're applause, right? That's how we're doing things? By applause. How many of you guys are so excited to watch Tom Brady just crush it today?
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Woo-hoo! Just us. That's exactly, and one more back there. That's exactly what I was afraid of. So I want to apologize in advance for all of you being just sad and hurt tomorrow as you go to work, as you prepare to do the things that you're doing. And I also feel like I really need to apologize for the weather you had the last couple days. Because I went to my boss a couple months ago and I said, hey, I'm thinking about going to Chicago and visiting my friends and watching the Super Bowl and going to church. And he goes, that sounds fun. Can I go? I said, sure. So then we went to his boss and said, hey, we're thinking of leaving and going to Chicago over a Sunday. And we're like the two people there. Can we go? And he goes, well, that sounds fun. Can I go? So this is my boss and my boss's boss. Super excited to have them with me. We've had an absolute, give them a hand. They put up with me. They teach me, and yeah, it's awesome. And so I was talking to them, and John has been in some pretty cold weather before, but Chris shared with me that he really hadn't experienced like real Chicago weather, right? And so I just started praying, and I was like, God, if we could see Chiberia again, like, right, like Chiberia and Snowpocalypse all at the same time, right? It is absolutely my fault. And then our flight got like canceled and delayed, and so we actually missed part of it. We were supposed to be here a little earlier, so we landed. It was only -2. I was so disappointed. I was like, so like, you know, everybody's posting, you know, like the world froze, the earth stopped spinning because it got so cold. And I was like, we get off the plane and you're gonna freeze. And we got off the plane wearing hoodies, and we're like, okay, this is cool. But man, it is so cool to be back here today. I remember Pastor Nathan a year and a half ago on my last Sunday sharing with me. He said, as you leave Real Church, there's going to reach a point in time where you come back to visit. And as you read through the letters that Paul writes to the different churches, there's going to be a new weight to what you hear him say. As he talks about the different churches that he was a part of, the different churches that he administered and preached and led and helped establish and planted. And I thought, oh, that's a nice story, but that probably won't be me. And man, that has absolutely hit me. As I've watched you guys on Facebook and social media, as some of you have gotten to visit as you've come out to California, and just seeing things happen, seeing God still moving. And I had this awesome introduction that was going to lead up to freedom. And I didn't know that they were just going to come out and say, Rocky's preaching on freedom today. And, oh, I killed my buildup. that's okay, because you probably already knew before I knew anyway. So really, it really doesn't matter. But I had all these different things that I was going to say. And one of the things that really stood out to me is that the story of Real Church isn't a story of you guys accomplishing things. It isn't a story of you conquering Chicago. It is a story of God showing up over and over and over again. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know you guys know this, but I just want to say, like, as I think about how Paul wrote his letters and how he said, these are the things that I'm so proud of you for. Like, I'm so proud that you continue to seek God, that God continues to show up and continues and continues. Man, it is awesome. So we're absolutely going to talk about freedom today. And I do have a sore throat, so I'm going to keep drinking lukewarm coffee because I think that's going to help me. Matt Smith would always get mad at me every time I drink coffee, and he's like, you have to drink tea, and I told him, tea is disgusting, you can't drink it. So if I had been like a better prepared preacher, which David can attest to that I'm not, I actually gave him my sermon notes like 5 minutes ago. I had this like idea. I was like, we should have this awesome slideshow playing in the background of all these things that Real Church has done. And so if you could just pretend like that is going on in the back, like that would be amazing. Like it would make me sound better and be cooler, because I need all the help that I can get. And so I want to talk about freedom. But I think before we talk about freedom, we have to talk about like what we're free from. right? Like we need to actually talk about what it is that if we're celebrating freedom, like what are you free from? I think the obvious answer is slavery, right? And we think if you're not free, you're a slave, and if you are, then the opposite, right? So I was really thinking, like, what is slavery? Because I think as Americans, we have a twisted view of what slavery is because we have a horrible history of it, right? And so we think that slavery is something really American. And so I looked up what slavery is, and the dictionary, who's way smarter than me, it says that slavery is someone that is completely subservient to a dominating influence. That was really interesting. So I started thinking about the things in my life that I am subservient to, that I'm dominated by, right? And so as we talk about this, I want you guys to think about what are the things that you're subservient to? What are the things that are dominating over you? Like what are those things? What are they that are holding you down? Now, I mean, we could talk about the obvious things, right? Like physics and the laws of physics, right? Like gravity, like totally subservient to that. I think it's pushing all of us down. But there's different things. See, it took the doctor to get the joke, really? Thanks. I think we think about all these different things that like we're kind of mastered by, right? You know, I mean, like we have our government, we have the military, like thankfully they don't really dominate over us, but they totally could. We have the Chicago police, you know, with those little beautiful notes they send you in the mail. They're like, I love you, here's $50 that you owe us. You know, I got so many of those. It is so nice. In fact, we were talking about the other day, the little love notes that they give you. And I remember the first time I got one and I was like, $50, that's it? Like I could park everywhere. And then I got like 5 in the mail in 1 month, and my wife told me I cannot park anywhere I want. So. But there are all kinds of things as people that we are dominated by, that we are subservient to. In America, we have like these just crazy amount of laws. Like we have laws upon laws upon laws that tell you what you can do and what you cannot do. And then you get to your state, and your state goes, well, that's not enough. Let's pile some more on, right? And then you get to Chicago, and Chicago's like, rookies. Like, let's just, man, we could, like, an encyclopedia of laws just for Monday. Like, easy. So there's all these different things that we're subservient to, and I'm so glad that last week you guys covered grace. Because there's no way we could talk about freedom absent of grace. There's absolutely no way that freedom exists in any context, in any place, without grace. See, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans, and he says that we're all slaves to something. No matter how free you think you are, we are all a slave to something. All of the people in the Bible. All the people, I don't know if you've read like Numbers recently, but there's a lot of people in the Bible. But like all of the people in the Bible, all of the people that aren't in the Bible, all of the people in Chicago, all the people that aren't in Chicago, everybody that's been born, everybody that's died, everybody is a slave to something. So I hope you understand, you're a slave. Paul tells us that we are all born slaves to sin. That we are all born slaves to sin. And so I decided, you know, sin in my mind equals breaking rules, doing things you're not supposed to, missing the mark, right? And so I thought, well, I mean, there's 10 rules, right? Like, probably gone a day without breaking all 10, you know? So I thought, well, how many rules are there actually in the Old Testament? So I did a Google search because Google knows everything and I don't. And you know that Google couldn't even tell me how many rules there are in the Bible? Like, it only covers the first 5 books. Like, after the first 5 books, it's like, we can't count that high. So there are 613 rules just in the first 5 books of Moses. 613. And, I mean, we were looking them up the other day. Some crazy, crazy rules, right? Like, you can't cook a cow in its mom's milk, or a goat. I think it's a goat. I don't know why you'd want to eat a goat anyways, but you can't cook it in its mom's milk. Like, there's all these different rules. You can't sit in certain places. You have to wash your hands very specific ways. And then the rabbis and the teachers, they came up with a whole nother book to expound upon the laws that they'd already decided were the things you need to follow. Now they need to tell you all the different ways that you need to follow this rule. And then they wrote another book to tell you all the ways around that rule. And I totally related with those guys. That's probably the book I was reading. But let me do me a favor. Think about the last time you broke a rule. Like any rule. Stop sign. Yeah, absolutely. I blew through a stop sign yesterday, like so bad. The guys in the back seat were like, I was like, it's cool, it's Chicago. Like, the police don't even know their stop signs there. It's fine. But I mean, we break rules all the time. So let me ask you, when you broke that last rule, was there like this thought in the back of your head that, I wonder if the earth is going to open up and swallow me, and then I'm going to perish? Like, you know, because I ran that stop sign. Or is there a thought in your mind that there's like probably this really angry she-bear up on a mountain, and she's going to come running down and she's going to maul me to death and destroy me because I clocked in late to work? No, right? Like we read, like, you're like, yeah, those are Old Testament stories. No. I don't worry about those things. We don't worry about any of those things, right? And that's not a thing. We don't think there's going to be this horrible, unjust punishment for what has happened to me. But Paul says that we're all a slave to sin. I remember the first time my son Owen lied to me. Parents, you remember the first time your kid lied to you? And you were like, oh, like, I don't know if I should be really, really mad at you or kind of impressed. You know, like, that was, actually took some thinking on your behalf. So I remember we were sitting in our living room over on Montrose, and I have four boys, and Owen is the third. And he would constantly go up to his brother's toy, and he didn't want to play with it. And I always tell him, like, you can't play with it. You're going to destroy it. It was like Legos, right? And my son Amir, like, was so concerned about this spaceship Lego thing that he was building. And, like, I don't get it. Like he, once you built it, like, you had to just look at it. You know, he was like, this is the most holy thing ever. And so he would put it, but he would take it with him everywhere, right? And so he'd put this on the living room table. And my son Owen came in, and we had told him, like, 100 times, man, don't touch this. Don't touch this. And we also told him here, don't put it on the edge of the table, but neither one of them listened to us. And so my son Owen goes and he grabs it and it breaks. And Amir, the older son, we could hear him just like, what has happened? And he's like, Mom, Dad! And my wife, who was facing the opposite way, folding laundry, watching TV, and talking on the phone, heard all of this go down. I was facing them, moderately aware that there were actually children in our house. Right, she knew all of this was happening. And I remember her going, Owen, did you touch your brother's toy? He goes, no. And like right then, I knew that Paul was right. I knew that what he was saying, that we are a slave to sin. Like he had no idea what he was actually doing, but he knew that he didn't want to be in trouble. And he knew that he was going to tell us anything that he needed to tell us to not be in trouble. And right then, I knew that Paul was right. And that if we go further, then my little, I don't know how old he was. I said 8 months. My wife was like, he wasn't talking at 8. Because again, I'm moderately aware that there are children in my house. So somewhere between 8 and 2, you know. And right then, I realized that not only is my son a sinner, but according to the Bible, my son deserves death. Right? Like he deserves death. If we read the Bible and we believe it, he deserves death. So our first point is that with Jesus, I am free to slavery. But here's the thing, like, it's really weird when we say, I deserve death, but I'm free. It's because there's this big but in there, right? Like there's this massive, cosmic, biggest but in the whole, that sounded inappropriate. There's this big, great, like, if and thing, Jesus. Right? Like you are a slave to death, but Jesus. You are a slave to the law, but Jesus. You see, if you're a follower of Jesus, if I'm a follower of Jesus, if we are followers of Jesus, we are a slave to all these things that the Bible says no more. That we are no longer held under this weight, this gravitational pull of slavery and death and sin. So in 2 Corinthians 3:17, if you guys want to pull it up, because I don't have them on the slide because I forgot. I'll give you a second. 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Like wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But let's be honest, right? The freedom that we experience as Christians, as people that are under the rule, reign, and authority of Jesus is something that we've come to expect. Right, like you guys all admitted that already. When you broke the rule, the earth didn't open up, you weren't afraid of it. Like, we've just come to expect that there's this freedom from this thing. And it's become this cheap, everyday, unextraordinary, basic blanket of freedom that we're barely even aware that we're wearing. And I think as Americans, like, even to take it deeper, we have this really odd view of freedom, right? Like, when we think of freedom, we think of red, white, and blue, American pie, Chevy trucks, American flag, soldiers. Like, we think about all these different things as, like if you, like you said, like, build me a picture of freedom. Like, you'd start off with a red piece of construction paper, right? Like, a blue picture that you put on it. There'd be some white in there. Like, there's all these different things that you would construct to make it represent what you thought freedom was. And so I was thinking about this the other day. I served in the military for quite a few years, and I had this really weird view of what freedom was. I got an email last night. My squad leader, who fought in Iraq multiple times, went to Afghanistan, served 20 years and retired. He passed away yesterday. I don't know what, but have you guys heard of this thing called 22? It's going around through the veteran community. It's 22 veterans a day commit suicide. 22 veterans a day who put their life on the line, who fought for what we call freedom, who defended it, who went out and gave up their freedom to fight and defend freedom, come back to a place and feel like they have no freedom and they have no answers and there's no hope. Because we think that they fight for freedom and we just get it. Like, we think that the freedom we have, we don't have to fight for. Now, we're going to be talking about two different freedoms, don't worry. But we think that this freedom that we have, that there's no fight in it, that it's just given to us. But freedom in the Christian sense is nothing like freedom in the American sense. I think because of our context of political freedoms, we've taken this idea and we've taken the American version of freedom and we've painted spiritual version on top of it and said, like, yeah, that looks right. Right, this is my art project, Jesus. And we think this is what freedom should be. But what the Bible defines as freedom and what the Bill of Rights talks about as freedom, they're so different. Let me give you an example. Okay? This is the best example I could get because I thought of it. You could go online right now and you could post hashtag not my president. And what's gonna happen? I mean, other than your crazy uncle in West Virginia who's going to go, oh my gosh, you know, other than that, what's actually going to happen, right? Like, is somebody going to show up and be like, hey, we need your passport, and I need you to get on this bus, we're going to go take you down to Mexico, and we're going to just, like, get rid of you? Like, nobody goes, hey, like, hashtag not my president, you can't be in this kingdom of America that we've established here. No, right? Like, you can write hashtag not my president all you want, and all you're going to do is pick a fight on Facebook. Okay, but if you belong to the kingdom of God and you say hashtag not my God, well, that means something different, right? Like, that's a completely different thing. I actually even asked Jesus the other day, I'm like, hey, do I get a vote in, like, who you are? You know, like, like, is there a senator or, like, a heavenly congresswoman that's appointed to represent me and my voice and like, the way that I think freedom should be doled out and grace and forgiveness and, like, all, like do I get a say in any of this, right? I mean, what's the answer? No, right? Like, God never went, oh, like, we should really establish, like, a human committee to decide what is actually, you know, like, makes them feel good, right? Makes them want to continue to vote for us. Like none of that actually happens. See, when we talk about freedom as Americans, we're talking about freedom to do things, right? Like, I have the freedom to post hashtag not my president. I haven't, don't tweet me, but I could, right? I could. I have the freedom to move from Chicago to California, or from California to Chicago, or from Virginia to Chicago, or from wherever to wherever. Like, I have the freedom to do that. I have the freedom to decide what job I'm going to have. Decide where I'm going to go to school, or if I'm going to go to school. Like, as Americans, we think of all the things that we are free to do. But in the Bible, it doesn't talk about you having freedom to do things. It talks about you have freedom from things. And so that's like the big difference. And man, like if there's a takeaway here, like if you're taking notes, this is the thing, right? American freedom is freedom to. Spiritual freedom is freedom from.
That's right.
You have freedom from things. And we're going to talk about those things. We have freedom from, not freedom to. Now, it's all because of Jesus, right? Like all of the freedoms that we have, that we've established, that we have from death, that we have from the law, that we have from hell and eternity separated from God, they're all freedoms that are provided to us from Jesus, from the sacrifice that he did. So as Christians, we are free from, but we are not free to sin. You are free from sin, but you're not free to sin. You're free from it. You're free from the bondage of it because of Jesus. Now, have you ever really thought, like, how ridiculous this agreement is that we have between us and God? Like, I mean, see, I love how you guys chuckle. You're like, yeah, I've thought about it. Right? Like, dude, he apparently didn't read the notes at the bottom. Right? Like, God was like me when I buy a house. Like, they present 600 pages, and I'm like, yep, good. I'll take it. Right? Because, like, and so God was like, yeah. I mean, that's how we kind of look at it. We're like, God, like, you got the raw end of this deal. Let me get this straight. You created us. We screwed it up. You had to fix it. And then you're still going to keep us? Like, you just, I mean, if I was God, I'd wipe all of us out, just start over again. You know, it would make things so much easier. This deal that God got is a really raw deal, which is awesome for us, right? Because we actually, I mean, we got the deal of a lifetime. We got this amazing deal that God said, like, you keep screwing up and I'm going to pay the cost for it. I'm going to allow you to still be good with me. Hey, that's ridiculous, man. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians that the Spirit of the Lord is inside those that follow him. But that's the key. The Spirit of the Lord is inside those that follow him. That follow him. For some reason, our culture, we've changed that into, if you say a little prayer, you're good. Right? Like if you say the short little prayer, like it's just this other thing that we add to our lives, right? Like I'm a husband, a father, hold on, I gotta count. I'm a husband, a father, a taco connoisseur, an anti-shave activist. Oh, and a Christian. Right? Like it's just this other thing about me that I've added to my life. And like, I mean, if we're honest, most of us are like, oh yeah. No. I do follow Jesus. I do that thing. There's some other things that are in front of it, you know, obviously. But I mean, I do that. But the ridiculous thing is, man, if you've read the Gospels, like that's not the Jesus that you encounter. Right? The Jesus that you encounter, can you imagine Jesus, the Lord of the universe? In fact, he walks the Sea of Galilee, right? He's walking the Sea of Galilee and he comes across these fishermen. Right? Out fishing and cleaning up things. They've been fishing all night. Can you imagine if you went, hey, do you wanna add me to your life? Like if you add me to your life, if you say this little prayer, you go to heaven. They'd be like, well, how long's the prayer? Right? Because that's what we would do. We'd be like, hold up, is this like a 14-year prayer? Like what's the deal here? Like, you know, 30 seconds. Say a little prayer. 30 seconds. And we're good. Yeah. Okay, I'll do it. Okay. Bow your head. Close your little eyes. Repeat after me. Dear me, I ask me into my heart to be the savior of me and make sure I go to heaven. Amen. Amen? Okay. Awesome. See you guys in heaven. And Jesus keeps rolling like down the street. No. What does Jesus say? He says, come and follow me. Come and follow me. We don't see a Jesus that says, just say this little prayer. Just do this little thing. Add me to your life. Spend an hour every Sunday, maybe. No, he says, come follow me. He says, are you in? Are you ready to give everything? Are you ready to pick up your cross? Are you ready to die to yourself? Are you ready to follow me? And so you have a choice. You don't get to add him to your life. You either get him in your life or you get him out of your life. And your actions decide which one it is. Jesus doesn't say, add me to your life. He says, let me become your life. Our second point is that I am free from sin, but not free to sin. You guys covered grace last week, right? It was last week? Awesome. Grace does not create an excuse to sin. Freedom does not create this reason that you get to keep sinning. But I think as Christians, we get caught in one of two places, right? So it's like just kind of all of us, pretty much 90% of us, fall in kind of one of two categories. 10% of us are kind of weird, but one of two categories, right? So you have the group that thinks, well, like I said a prayer, I added him to my life. Once saved, always saved. Like I've heard that. It's probably in the Bible somewhere. So yeah, I'm going to do me, right? Like, I mean, I'm in, I bought fire insurance. Like I heard this joke one time that like, if you really serve Jesus, you get a Mercedes in heaven. But if I don't, I still get a skateboard. I'm like, I'm cool with a skateboard. Right. So, I mean, you know, I'm just, I'm going to do what I want to do. I've said the prayer. I'm going to get in. It's, you know, it's going to be cool. Right. And I think, and if we're honest, like some of us fall in this category. I know for years I fell in this category. Right, like for years, I thought I was a Christian. I had no idea what a Christian was. Right, and I thought, like, I said this prayer when I was a little kid. My dad led me in it because he told me I needed to say it. Right, and so I said it. And then I remember my grandma telling me, like, no matter what happens, you're good. Right, like you, and I remember she even said the words, you have fire insurance. I was like, oh, I didn't know what insurance was, but I was like, sweet. You know, whatever. And I got caught with a bunch of stuff. So we either fall in that category, right? Or we fall in the second category where you're like, oh my God, how did you save me? Right? Like, have you, like, Jesus, did you see the list of all the things I did just in college? Yep. Right? And you're still gonna save me? And then, like, I was like 25 when I became a Christian. There was a whole lot of messing up, you know, between 23 and 25. It was so much. And I'm like, seriously, you're still. Like, you're good with that. And Jesus is like, yeah, my grace is sufficient. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm probably, like, I've already used up 99% of the grace of my life. Yeah. Whew, I better be careful. Right? Like, I mean, I might, like, if I get, like, a little white line there, I might be forgiven. But, like, if there's a tightrope of, like, following Jesus, I need to stay right on it. Because any minute he's going to go, no, you're out of grace. Right, like you're out. And so not only do I need to walk this tightrope of grace, or well, not of grace, of law, right, of law, like following all the rules, but I also need to make sure that everybody else does too, right? Because like your sin might affect me and pull me down, so I need to tell you, hey, you're not allowed to say that in church. Right, so we fall in one of two categories, and like obviously those are extremes, but I think we fall into one of two categories. Either you think I live under grace, or you think I'm so screwed, I'm out of grace. You know, and we're one of two categories. But neither of these are the life that God has actually designed us for. Neither of these are how God has said that you need to live out your life. He doesn't need you to sin more. Like, God's not like, I need to practice giving grace more, so go ahead and sin. You know, like, he doesn't need practice on grace. He's gave plenty of it to me. And he doesn't need you to earn something that he's already given you. He doesn't need you to earn it. 1 Peter 2:16, this is a short one. It says, for you are free. Yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Don't let your freedom become an excuse. Jesus says, are you all in? Jesus says, come and follow me. Come and die. Pick up your cross. The picture that Jesus has painted is one that flies in the face of American freedom. We think that freedom is doing what we want, but that's a lie. Freedom is not doing what you want. There's no freedom in doing what you want, right? Like, how many of you guys actually did what you wanted, and how did it turn out? Right? Like, mine was pretty bad, right? Financially, relationally, like, all of it. It was a mess. But I thought, well, I'm living my life the way I want to. But the problem is that when we reject the freedom that God offers us, which is slavery to him, when we reject that, we create this little kingdom of me, right? Like, how many of you guys have lived in the kingdom of me? Like, I probably had a pretty cool castle in the kingdom of me. It was a big one, right? And I lived in this kingdom of me, and then I found out years later, thankfully before I died, I found out years later that the kingdom of me is not a passport that heaven validates. Like, they don't recognize it. Jesus isn't like, oh, like neighboring kings? Yeah, we're good. No. The freedom presented to us in the Bible is freedom from death, from the law, and from yourself. It is freedom from you. It's freedom to live in salvation, to live life, and to live in a relationship with Jesus. But we have to remember that relationship is a relationship created by a God to something he has created. It is the relationship of a master to a servant. It is the relationship of a king to a peasant. We serve a God who said, come and follow me. So our third point is this, and I think we need to remember this. I am free to follow, which conversely means that you're also free not to follow. But I am free to follow, which is funny. Like, when you really think about, like, the word free and the word follow, like, they don't really seem like they should be in the same sentence, right? Like, free to follow. It should be like free to do whatever I want. But no. The Bible says free to follow. And I think I often forget that following Jesus is like the highest honor. But sometimes I resent it. Like, sometimes I don't want to do what he says, right? And so I remember in my mid-20s, which is when I became a Christian, I was trying to decide if this was like actually something I wanted to do, right? So did any of you become, you don't have to raise your hands, I don't want to embarrass you. It's not embarrassing, but I don't like raising my hands in church, so you don't have to either. But did you become a Christian and not as a child? And you realize that, like, when you realize that it wasn't just a prayer and fire insurance, like, when you actually realize that maybe following Jesus might require some changes, like, did you make a list of things that you may or may not have to change in your life? Because I made a list, right? And so this is real church, right? And I'm also at a church that has the same vision to be real. And so I totally wasn't going to be real with you guys. I just have to be honest, right? So I was, see, my wife is my editor-in-chief, and so I sent her my sermon, and she's like, you're such a liar. So I already confess I'm a liar. She calls me out. If you know her, she's really good at that. And so I was going to write, like, the thing that I was most concerned about giving up was rap music. Right? In fact, me and Pastor Nathan were joking about this the other day. He used to make fun of me all the time because I would drive to his house and I would, like, be bumping Eminem or Ludacris or Dr. Dre or something not that great. And when I got near his house, I would push this little button on my radio that changed it to Air One. Right? And if you don't know what Air One is, it's like KSGN. Maybe a little more edgy. Is Christian music edgy at all? But it was just a little bit, you know? And so I'd push that button, and I would roll in like, Jesus loves me this. And I'd park. And so one time, he hopped in the car with me. And the same button that I pushed, he pushed. And all of a sudden, Eminem is talking about popping pills, and I'm like, I am going to hell. Oh, this is bad. This is really bad. And then he knew the words, and then I realized it was really, really bad. Like, not only was I going to hell, but we're just going to keep driving there. And that's what I wanted to tell you, that I was really concerned about giving up, because, like, I had my life together. But I know, like, I was a huge, huge mess. And the thing that I was most concerned about giving up is embarrassing. And so I thought, well, I probably shouldn't talk about it. Because none of you had anything embarrassing that you might have had to have given up, right? Like, no. Like, this just, again, makes the freedom that we have cheap, and I rap it on myself, and I'm like, I gave up rap music, which I kind of did. But, again, being real. But the thing that I had to give up was relationships. Use your imagination. So I remember going, I was in this small group. I don't even know where I'm at on my thing. I'll find it. I was in this small group, and I went, and it was awesome. Like, it changed my life. If you're not in a small group, yeah. And so I went to this group, and it was led by, like, this, like, cholo, like, tattoo-covered, shaved head, like, I've been in prison half my life kind of guy, right? And it was like 20 guys, and it was the most real I'd ever been with anybody until that point of my life. Like, I came in every week, and I had to take notes because, like, I had to remember all the things I'd done, so that, you know, because I thought somehow, I don't know why, I watched a Catholic movie one time, so I thought I had to talk about every single one of them to make sure that I was forgiven about all of them. But I would go every week, and I would talk about the same things. Like the same things, because I was afraid of giving them up, right? Like, I thought that they were so awesome, you know, and I thought that whatever Jesus had to offer was probably going to be really boring, right? And so I just thought, you know, again, I was that type one person. I was like, I'm just going to keep living under grace. And so I'd keep admitting to the same thing. And I noticed that, like, a lot of these guys, and they were admitting some heavy stuff, right? Some were admitting, like, pornography addiction and all kinds of sexual temptation, drug use, cheating, lying. Like, I mean, all kinds of, like, it was a bad group. And I remember, like they started to get a little better. And so every week, this tatted 40-year-old guy, and I was 25, he would ask me, he goes, I wrote it down, I have to remember how he said it. But he said, how did you deal with sexual temptation this week? That's what he'd ask me every week. And every week it was like, I screwed it up. And so finally, one week, I remember when it changed. One week, he asked me a completely different question. Like, everybody else already confessed their stuff, and he came to me and he goes, Rocky, how many people did you hurt this week? And all of a sudden, I realized that the kingdom of me didn't just include me. It affected other people around me, that it hurt other people around me. And I was so embarrassed. I was even more embarrassed because I had nothing good to say. I only thought of my sin as hurting. Not even me, right? Because I enjoyed it. I only thought of my sin as hurting God. And I thought, well, God forgives everybody else. He could get over it. And I didn't realize that it was hurting so many people around me. And so when he asked me this question, I didn't believe I was hurting myself, but I knew I was hurting other people. I just needed somebody to make me admit it, to make me talk about it. You see, I loved going to the group because every week I went to this group and I confessed my sins and I felt forgiven for like 2 or 3 days and it felt really good and I liked that feeling and then I screw up, but then I knew, like, on Wednesday I get to go back and I get to get that feeling back. And I never even really considered that maybe the thing that God is asking me to give up has nothing to do with following his rules and has everything to do with me actually living in freedom. I thought that my freedom was doing whatever I wanted, but my freedom is found in doing what God wants. That it's not slavery when you're following a good master. It's not. Do you want to know where we can find freedom? Luke 9:23 says this. It says, and he being Jesus, says, Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Do you want to know where freedom is found? It is found at the cross. It is found right there at the cross over and over again. Isn't it crazy? Like, when you think about it, the cross, the place where the world thinks that Jesus was defeated, where they think that our God died. It's a place where we find freedom. Because without the cross, there is no freedom. Without the cross, there is no grace. Without the cross, there is no hope. But we look at that one verse that calls us to pick up our cross and follow Jesus, right? Like that one. We look at it, and we look at all the things that we have to give up, right? Like that's, for years, what I thought picking up my cross meant. Getting all of the things that I wasn't supposed to be doing out of my life, and then carrying the boredom of doing that. But the burdens that I have to bear, the things that I have to do, the work that is required of me, I thought those were the things I had to carry. But that's a lie. Those aren't the things. You see, the cross that you bear isn't suffering. How many of you thought that the cross that you had to bear was suffering? Like, can we just be honest? Like, I absolutely thought the cross that I had to bear was suffering. But the cross that you have to bear is not suffering. It's not what Jesus is talking about here. The cross that you bear isn't about you. Think about it. Was the cross that Jesus bore about him? No. The cross that Jesus carried, stood up, was placed on, nailed to, and then erected again, had nothing to do with him. But every time Jesus says, pick up your cross, all I see is me and my problems and my hurts and my hangups and the things that I wanted to do that I don't get to do because God is some cosmic killjoy. The cross that Jesus calls you to bear has nothing to do with you. And I'll prove it to you. Galatians 6:2. It says, bear one another's burdens. How many laws were there in the first five books? Anybody remember? 613. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus fulfilled all 613 laws that we talk about in the Old Testament. He didn't do away with them. He didn't get rid of them. He didn't delete them. Like, how many times you read the Bible and went, like, redact, redact, redact? Like, Jesus didn't redact the laws. He completed the law. He fulfilled the law. And so Jesus calls us to bear one another's burdens, to be there for each other, to lift each other up, to truly love each other. And so our last point is this. I am free when I love others. I am free when I love others. Freedom was given to us in love, and freedom is still found in love. All of the rules, all the regulations, all the things that you thought you had to give up, and all the things that you couldn't keep doing, that's Old Testament. That's Old Covenant that's completed in Christ. And the new covenant, the new agreement, the new mortgage document that you didn't read anyways, is all about love. One of my favorite Bible verses is found in Matthew 25. It's actually several verses. Do we have this one, David? I don't know if I gave it to you. Okay, I'm going to read it. Believe me, it's from the Bible. Matthew 25. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him. If you have your Bible, highlight that. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Whatever you did for these brothers and sisters of who? Of Jesus. Whatever you did for them, you did for me. You see, the kingdom of heaven is unique. It is the only kingdom that has ever existed or will ever exist that has no need for you. has no need for human, no need for people. There's nothing that we give or bring to the plate that God was like, oh, finally that's here. There's nothing that I have to offer God on my best day that he couldn't just speak into existence. We worship a God who doesn't need us. But we worship a God who loves us. And because we worship a God who loves, we have been invited into a space where we love others. Not where we can love others, not where we might love others, where we have been called by the King to love others. If you want to be Christ to somebody, if you want to be Jesus to somebody, love them. If you want to grow close to Jesus, love people. Love people. I think we've got it backwards for so long. If you want to grow close to Jesus, love the people he loves. Care for the people that he cares for. I don't know how else I can say this. Like, freedom is found in following Jesus. It's not found in the law. It's not found in rebellion. And it's not found outside Jesus anywhere. True freedom is only found in love. Only found in love. Our last verse is Romans 6:22. The Apostle Paul says, but now you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. The benefit of leaving slavery to the world and entering slavery under a good and holy king is that you get citizenship to his kingdom. As a slave to God, you get to become a son and daughter, a brother and a sister. Your passport gets validated. You become a citizen of heaven on earth and heaven yet again through love. I want to read this quote I stole from somebody else. He says, we are all creatures made by God, but we are not God. We were given life by God for a purpose. We are free to worship God, to serve God, and to witness to the rest of creation by living a life that honors God. This is real freedom. Freedom to be who God created us to be. And this freedom, like all freedoms, is not cheap. This freedom costs you everything. This week, Real Church, would you trust that God knows what he's doing in your life, even if you don't agree? Would you choose to love those that God loves? Would you choose to let love define you, not laws, not rules, not sin? Love. Would you take your next step into real as you dive deeper into freedom? That is my prayer for us today. Would you guys pray with me? Father God, thank you. Just thank you, God. Can we just say thank you? Thank you for a massive list of things. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for grace. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sacrifice. Thank you for promises that are kept, even when I don't keep up my end of the bargain. God, would you help us to love people? Because, God, the people that you made are hard to love. like me. I'm one of the hardest to love. God, would you help us to love? Thank you that you gave us an amazing example. Thank you that you've given us the tools that we need. And God, would you cover us in your grace? Would you wrap us in your freedom as we try to love people as messy as us? Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.